Oh, come on, you can do better than that. How many want to hear from me this morning? No. All right. Now you're safe. The only one other person that's going to speak this morning is the Holy Spirit. And you've voted to hear Him over me, correct? So get your hearts ready. I'm going to tell you, when you ask God to feed you, He does that. Are you asking? Let me tell you what happens when you ask God to feed you. You may not hear a word I say, but you're going to think the message is great. That gives me a lot of confidence. It really does. Okay, we're going to continue studying 1 Samuel. We'll see if it's a teaching or a preaching this morning. That's according to the Holy Spirit. Let's get with it and find out. If you remember last week, we started in 1 Samuel, the first chapter, first verse. We were talking about a man named Elkanah, had two wives. One of them was Hannah, one of them was Penani. Penani was a pain. She had a lot of children. She had children, Hannah didn't, and she just bugged Hannah constantly about it. Perfect sign of the devil, if you want to know. If the devil can find a spot that you're tender in, he'll pick at it. He will pick at it continuously. Hannah decided that she'd pray about that, and she did, continuously. She wept before the Lord about a need. The priest saw her, blessed her, agreed with her. She conceived. Remember? Kind of took the wind out of the other lady's sails. The promise that Hannah made was that if God would give her a child, she would give it back to God forever. The only thing she said was, I'll keep it long enough to wean it, and then I'll give it to the Lord. Amen? She did that before she conceived, not after. So the child had already been given to God, even at conception, correct? She promised to be God's handmaid in her prayer. Well, I'm skipping over this fast, aren't I? We'll just keep skipping. She conceived. She had the child. We came up to this point last week. She had the child. She brought it to the weaning stage. She loaded up a bull, an effeth of wine or a container of wine. Actually, three bulls in King James, it says. And headed up the mountain to the temple, or up to the temple, to sacrifice, offer an offering to the Lord. You understand? It wasn't enough to fulfill. She made a promise, a vow, the Bible says, to God. Say, if you'll give me a child, I'll give it to you, God. But see, that wasn't enough. Now she's loaded up meat and wine, and she's going to do not only sacrifice the child, but an offering, or offering to the Lord of the child, but also of her earthly goods. When I looked at that, I thought, God, did she need to do both? Well, evidently she thought she did. The next question I ask, is there ever a time when I've given enough? Have I ever given enough to God? Well, I guess the answer to that would be yes and no. I'll tell you when we've given enough to God, and that's when we've finally given it all. Then there's nothing else to give. Amen? Okay. Whoops. She was taking the child up. That's where we stopped last night. Last week. 1 Samuel, 1st chapter, 24th verse. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock, or they had slaughtered the bull. They brought the boy, to Eli. Who was Eli? The high priest, right. Brought him to Eli. Verse 26. And she said to him, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. Now, why did she say that to the priest? Don't remember why? Yes, but why did she remind the priest that I'm the one that was here praying? He accused her of being drunk. Remember? He saw her lips moving and said, you've been drinking too much wine. Stop that. And she said, not so, my Lord. I'm working on things here. I'm praying. I'm asking for the Lord, and I'm promising. So the statement here was, and she said to him, as surely as you live, my Lord, same words, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. Now the testimony part. What was she holding? A child. Proves to him that the prayer was answered, because remember, he entered into agreement about that prayer. So That's where the testimony and encouragement comes in. Also, it's time to offer the sacrifice. So she knows, she's carrying all this stuff, and he knows it's time for the sacrifice. 27. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. She worshiped the Lord there. He worshiped. The child worshiped the Lord there. One of the things that I don't know about the exact timing here, but one of the things I noticed is it hadn't been long since this child had been weaned, and they're all entering into worship. Even the child. And you'll see that later on. The King James says this, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Now, that word is it's misused there. The one I read first, so now I give him to the Lord, is actually not a full translation either. What it says is, this is what I've asked for, and I'm giving him back. The word lent is this way, not this way. It's, you've given me what I've asked for, and now I'm giving it back. Let me remind you of something very, very crucial. And I just forgot something else, and I'm going to take care of it right now. Something very crucial. Anything the Lord, we talked about this last week, anything the Lord gives you, there's a catch. He gave it for the kingdom, not for you. Would you all agree with that? And the only way that it's going to be real effective in the kingdom is if you give it back to God and let Him have total control. Amen? But I had the child. You know why this lady could say this child will serve you all the days of his life? Because when she vowed the vow originally asking for the child, she meant it. And so God fulfilled or answered the prayer according to the promise. There's a real key here about family, about future, about jobs. If you want that thing that you're praying for to be a success, to be controlled by God, make the vow beforehand and don't break it. Don't back on it one little bit. If you say, God, I want a child. If you say, God, I'm pregnant and I'm giving you this child right now, all the days of your life. That vow can mean everything in the child's life if you mean it. Especially in this one. She was asking for the child. The very fact that she conceived meant that God answered the prayer. All of it. Not just the conception part, all of it. She never once thought that this child may grow up and turn out to be a sinner against God. It never once crossed her mind because the prayer was answered. You know, we need to be careful about our prayers when we're talking to God and our promises. We need to mean them. It's not too late. If you've got a young child, if you've got a new job, if you've got a future, a change some kind in your life, if you're just making new promises to God, make them and ask Him for a response. Don't ask Him for something that you can't prove. Are you hearing me? I don't care if it's tomorrow, but there has to be an answer. In the Bible, one time it was referred to a fleece, but ask for an answer. And if the answer is there, your prayer is answered totally, forever. Do you really think God can do that? You think He can? You think He can give you a promise about your child, no matter what age it is? About your husband or your wife or your future or your house or anything? Ask Him according to the Word. Watch Him respond. And the minute He responds, that means I have answered the prayer. So why don't we start getting bigger prayers? Why don't we start praying for a lot larger things? How much larger can you get than the entire life of your child? Well, the children, the children's children, the children's children's children, that's how far you can go. You can go up 7 generations and be totally covered by the Word. You know that? Well, you ought to know it. Way back before the foundations of the earth, you were covered. Right? You were a prayer in Jesus' mind, in God the Father's mind, were taking care of it for this far. That's thousands and thousands of years ago. All right, let's go to chapter 2. Let's go to chapter 2. And Hannah prayed. I'm going to read the NIV, okay? Then Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted up high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. Now, I'm going to kind of break some of these down a little more than I did last week. Listen to me. This is another poor translation. Go to the original language, and this is what you come up with. This is stands in IV. According to definitions, my heart and my mind rejoice. They rejoice and they're glad. My strength and honor and reputation are great and high in and because of the Lord. My position and my strength is much greater than any enemy. I am safe. I am victorious. I am prosperous. I am strong. I am mighty. I am delivered because of my God. And that's exactly what that scripture says according to the dictionaries, the old language dictionaries. This lady was excited. How come? Her prayer was answered. It wasn't just her prayer answered. It was answered with a son that she knew belonged to God. More exciting. More than that, her enemy was Peninnah. And Peninnah was just put down mightily. Amen? The person that was coming, the enemy that was standing against him. The priest was corrected in the process. Look at all the good stuff that was coming out of this prayer. The priest was even corrected in the process. Now he's going to look through more spiritual eyes instead of just the physical eyes. I'll read it to you again. My heart and mind rejoice. They are glad. My strength and honor and reputation are great and high in and because of the Lord. My position and strength is much greater than any enemy. I am safe, victorious, prosperous, strong, mighty, delivered because of my God. Hallelujah. She didn't have a horn, by the way. You understand that? When King James says her horn, the NIV says her horn, that means the strength, the power, the prosperity, all of that. Her honor. Second verse. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. God is holy. God is all. God is everything. God is power. There is nothing without God. There is no salvation without God. There is no deliverance without God. And there is no other refuge but God. So what else is there? Then why does Tanya call me and say, I'm stressed out? Not just Tanya, by the way. There is nothing. Your stress will never deliver you from anything. Only God will do that. All your hard work will never get you anywhere. It's God that blesses you. Now, you have to be consistent and you have to be faithful. But God is the blessing. Amen? She's saying this. She's saying this because God needs to know it, right? No. She knows, she's saying it because the priest needs to hear it, the child needs to hear it, and she needs to hear it. And just in case anybody else is around, I want you to know who my refuge and strength is. Are we faithful to do that? Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance, for the Lord is a God who knows, and by Him deeds are weighed. Now let me turn it into today's language. I'll look in the mirror so that I don't see you. But I need you to do the same thing, all right? Do not speak without thinking. Do not let your mouth overload your ability or your thinking. It will lead to pride, which will lead to a fall. God is knowledge and wisdom and ability. He will judge. He don't need you to judge. He will make level and even. He'll make things right without anybody else's opinion. You know who I'm talking about? Y'all should be getting excited about this because I'm talking about your God, the one that wants to do the same thing for you that He's done all through the Bible. And He's actively working on that, and all He's saying right here through Hannah is, please, be quiet. Don't say things that will come against the Word. Don't say things that will try to break the promise that God's given you in your mind. Don't let this come in to a conflict with God's Word, His promise. What you know about God, don't let anybody else or you. Verse 4, the bows of the warrior, or the bows of the warrior are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Now we get in kind of weird stuff right in here, so we need to look at it closely. I'm going to keep translating. I want you to have faith in me. I'm not just ad-libbing here. I'm looking up the definitions of these words. And trying to make a sentence according to the definitions. the strength of those that stand against the kingdom in you, God will trip and stumble and will cause to be weakened. But to he clothes with strength and honor and wealth and ability and prosperity and success and a smooth trail. That's a definition. That's not my, I didn't make those up. That's what the Bible says. I'm going to read it to you again. This time I want you to get a little more excited. Because I'm telling you about God, not about the Broncos. Don't tell me you're going to get excited about the Broncos when they have a 50-50 chance of winning or losing. This is God. 100% chance of a winner. Amen? One more time. The strength of those who stand against the kingdom and against you, God will trip and stumble and will cause to be weakened right before you. But he clothes with strength, honor, wealth, and ability. Now, for those of you that don't like me using the word wealth, tough. Because that's what the original language says. I didn't make it up. It uses prosperity and wealth interchangeable all the time. It is tied to the word blessing or bless. Anytime that you use the word bless or blessing, it incorporates the word prosperity, strength, honor, ability. Bless you. Bless you. And it's the exact same word used when it says you are to bless God as when God blesses you. There's not two different words. So you do to him what he does to you. How many of you are making God wealthy? Amen? I guarantee you, back in these days, wealth was children. So you just be his obedient child and you have made him wealthy. So what's his response? Blessing, child. And old Hannah here, she's feeling it. She's excited. She's feeling the blessing of God. Those who were full hire themselves out for food. But those who were hungry, hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has led many sons pines away. Now that's supposedly the clear version. That's not even the King James, which was a little more complicated. I looked them up. I looked the words that were full and several different words in there. Listen to me. Those who were satisfied with themselves, those that were satisfied with what they could do and what they had done and their life and their spiritual condition, ended up in bondage to others. Those that were satisfied ended up in bondage to others. Are you satisfied? Or do we need to learn? Do we need to get closer to God? Every day, do we need to not be satisfied? Come on. I'm asking you a question now. I remember one time when I was a teenager, there's a situation came up where my dad said, should we buy this or should we just sit back and kind of enjoy? I said, let's buy. Let's buy. Let's get bigger. He said, is anything ever going to satisfy you? I said, according to what I read in the Word, nothing. Ever. I'll never be satisfied. Now I find it right here in the Scripture. It says, those that are satisfied become in bondage to others. So we're supposed to pursue God and His Word and His promises 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and never become satisfied. Because it says here, if you become satisfied, you go into bondage. Listen to the rest of this. Those that remain hungry ceased to be. What does that mean? I'm hungry. How about y'all? Are y'all hungry? It says those that remain hungry. You know what that means? That means I'm hungry and I never go after food. I never go after the bread of life. I never go after Jesus, the Word, the thing that keeps me satisfied. I'm always hungry and satisfied. Something that we don't quite understand, but scripturally speaking, I'm always hungry and I'm always satisfied. Those that remain hungry cease to be. Those that have been barren will now produce if in faith. How many just really, how many of you feel like that you've just kind of been barren in the kingdom? That everything you tried to touch, it's just kind of... Well, I said old things passed away. Or God said it and I repeated it. All things became new. You're in a new year now. You know that? We sat here that night and said, old things, They're no more. So what are you looking forward to? New things? Are you hungry for them? Do you think God is capable of providing that desire that He's put in your heart for new things, for bigger things? See, I'm excited about this. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to predict some things to you right now. I'm not going to be detailed, but I'm going to tell you this year, we've already started off very strange. Look at the news. You ain't seen nothing yet. Y'all better get excited because the desires of your heart are going to be met. You better make sure the desires of your heart are what you want. Okay? And if they're not, get them cleared up. Get them straightened up. Get into the Word and start expecting good things. By the way, if the desire of your heart for me is not blessing, you better get it straight. If my desire for you is not blessing, I got to get it straight. Because we may get the desires of our hearts. The trouble is, it says that it may turn back on you. That's what we're reading here. Sixth verse. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. We could say out of Him is life and death. Seventh verse. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and He exalts. According to the Scripture, this is the definition. The Lord seizes from some and gives to those who serve Him. He seizes from those that don't serve Him and gives to those that do. He causes the proud to be pulled down and the humble to be exalted. That Scripture I just told you. I didn't make that one up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon Him He has set the world. All right. I need to ask you something, point blank. No, I'm going to make a statement first. There are many people, and I'm afraid some of you here, have picked up certain platforms and crosses. You think that pain is a good thing. You think that poverty is a good thing. You think that sick is the will of God. You think that being down is the will of God. You think having nice clothes is against God. Where in the world did you get that mess? Let's leave it alone. Let me tell you how ministry works. You walk down the street, God makes you bump into somebody. That somebody sees something that they don't have and they want it. That's what ministry is. If you are broke, busted, disgusted, and you look like a bum, don't expect to minister to anybody because you don't have anything they want. You got what they got already. Now this is not a prosperity message, I'm telling you. This is a hungry message. This is, I want you to ask God if you're barren for an offspring. If you don't have the money to meet your needs, I want you to ask God to provide it. If you don't have the courage to minister, I want you to ask God to birth that in you. If you don't have clothes to wear, ask God to give them to you somehow. If you don't have a good job, ask about it. What in the world is God good for if He doesn't help? What are we serving a God that can't do nothing for? And if you're serving that God, it's not the one I'm serving. So let's get it square. Let's get it square. I said a while ago, watch the desires of your heart. Be cautious that they're according to the Word. Because if they're not according to the Word, then you're asking amiss, the Bible says. You're asking for wrong things. Sorry if I got a little upset, but I'm getting sick and tired of old-time religion. I wish we could get into some old time. Let's really get back to where it's old. Let's get to Abraham. And let's find some religion. And let's become his seed. Let's get real old time if we're going to get old. Let's go back to when Jesus was born, walking this earth and ministering. And let's be like Him if we're going to get into old time religion. Not this garbage we see today. Let me remind you of something. I'll just go on this little side trip. Y'all can think about this. You don't have to accept everything that I say, but you must think about it. I just say that to you by prophetic words. Listen to me. None of you can prove that Jesus ever worked a day in His life. He was only called the son of a carpenter. He was never called a carpenter. He was never described as working anywhere. Now what are you going to say? How are you going to explain that? How are you going to explain when He's out there talking to 15 or 20,000 people and His men came up and said, "The people are hungry. Shall I go take money and buy and feed them?" How many of you want to volunteer to feed 20,000 people today? How many of you can? How could he do it? The money was in the treasure. How did it get there? I got a hint for you. When he was born, what did three kings do to him? They brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All of his needs were met according to God's will. But that's not fair. I have to work. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, but you do it according to the Word. I'm still working on it. Don't ask me. I'm still working, so don't ask me. I'm just telling you what the Bible said. I'm trying to make us hungry for the things of God. What if we have to work the rest of our life? That's okay. I don't care. It doesn't bother me at all. I'm just telling you, let's be hungry for the things of God. Let's get as close to Jesus' perfection as we can. And if we don't quite get there, praise God anyway. Amen? All right, little side trail. No extra charge. This is good. He raises the poor from the dust. You know what that says? He don't want you poor and dusty. He wants to raise you. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. So if you're a street person, get over it. Ask God how. And then what you can do, you can go back there in a better condition and tell other street people how to get out of it. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. Let me tell you something, children of God. God wants to dump on you a throne of honor. I believe that. If I don't believe anything else, I believe that. How do I know that? Because I have children. And my deepest desire is for them to be dishonorable. Kind of a stupid statement, isn't it? Well, then it's stupid for us to believe that God would want anything for us but good. Because I'm His child. He said so. Wasn't my idea. It was His. I didn't choose Him. He chose me. That's what the Bible says. Why? He chose me so I could be one of no honor. For the found, listen, this is why you need honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's, and upon them, which are His people, by the way, He has set the world. All right, let's say it a different way. The world's dependent on you to be honorable. Well, why is our government in such bad shape? It's because the churches are in such bad shape. It's because we don't really, really believe God's Word so much that it's the only thing we obey. He will guard the feet of His saints. How many of you need a foot guard? Or do you need a lifeguard? Understand, the feet here does not mean your old smelly five toes. It means your path, your walk, the way you're going and how you're going. It means God guards that. This is so exciting to me. I really like this second chapter. Woo! God has set a path, and as you walk down it, He guards you in the path. I don't know what else we could ask for. But the wicked will be silenced in darkness. Now wait a minute. Your path is not only directed but protected, and the wicked's path, his feet, his way is silenced. How's it silenced? Well, because I'm so powerful. That isn't what that says, unless you're darkness. Are you understanding what this is saying? The very darkness that they serve silences them. Well, if that's the case, the very light you serve gives you speech, gives you ability, gives you authority and power. You do know that you serve light, right? And that you love lightness, light better than darkness. And if you love darkness, your way is going to be silenced. You're going to become ineffective. You're going to lose all authority and power. Nobody will have any respect for you, but God's children has a throne of honor. Ooh. Got a throne of honor, and their path is directed and protected. They walk in light. They're lovers of light. For by strength, it is not by strength that one prevails. Now, did you hear that? Now, if we're in a physical realm, and Gene and I get into an argument, the strongest one stand is going to win. If we're in the physical, if we're operating in the flesh, you and I confront each other. One of the things my children found out a long time ago is that when confrontation comes, they lose. Why? Because this was a physical thing. They were not operating in the spirit, or they wouldn't have been confronting me. So it was a physical confrontation, and they picked on the wrong guy. This says that you will never win by strength. Well, let me tell you how come I won over my children. And parents, listen to this. Because you have a spiritual thing behind you called God. And He honors parents that are in control. And the reason we're losing our children right and left is because their path is led in darkness rather than light. Parents, you have to be the position of honor. And honor requires a little strength and a little resistance to darkness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do I need to get country? Okay. I'll read my translation. God will protect His faithful from their flesh weakness. Now, this is a true definition. God will protect His faithful from their flesh weakness. Okay. How many of you have some weakness in the flesh? Okay. God says He protects you against that. Isn't that amazing? Or let's say it another way. God protects you against yourself. By the way, are you married? Has your spouse got some flesh weaknesses? Not hers. God protects you against that flesh weakness. How many of you got any friends? Have they got any flesh weaknesses? God promises to protect you against their flesh weaknesses. The wicked shall be confused. Oh, man. This is a translation. This is a definition. The wicked shall be confused, dumbfounded, and silent, and operate in misery and destruction because they love darkness instead of truth. The strength and wisdom of man will never stand against God, and your victories will never come because of your strength. This is good stuff. This is good stuff. Who's going to confound the wicked? See, we don't want to say God because it's darkness that confounds them. And God is not darkness. Come on, let's get real. We blame God for everything in the world. All He has to do is sit back. God said He created the earth and He rested. It never said He went back to work. Never said that. As far as I know, He's still sitting resting. And all He's saying is, I've given you all authority and all power over the enemy. The enemy is darkness. Let me tell you what's going to happen. We always say that God's going to send people to hell. Not a chance. He doesn't have to. You choose the path. There are two paths, wide and narrow. Isn't that what the Bible says? You choose the path. One goes to hell, one goes to heaven. God's not booting your hiney to get you to go either way. He's just highly recommending the best way. Now, here's the promises. If you'll take the right way, He protects you, and He directs you, and He helps you, and He protects you against the dark way. Woo! Now, if you get on the dark way, now this is the cool part about God. He always tries to call you back to the right way. But you're on your own. You're on your own. You're taking your own risk. You took the road. If there's a couple of bumps there, don't blame God. I'm excited about this chapter too. You know what? I better quit. Because I could go on for a long time about this. One more verse. One more verse. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. What promise do you have and what promise do they have? Though, by the way, are you in Christ Jesus? So this is saying those that oppose you and the Lord are shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge. That word means direct the end to the ends of the earth. He will give strength to His king and exalt the horn or the power of His anointed. What's your name? I've told you before. What's your name? My name is Yahweh Ben Yahweh, Stan Christ. For y'all that are new here, tighten your seat belts a little bit. I'm not trying to be egotistical. I'm trying to tell you your position in Christ Jesus. You are God in the form of Son of God with the name of Stan, and you are His anointed. Amen? All right. He will give strength to His king and exalt the power of His anointed. Are you in the king? Are you anointed? Then God's exalting your power this moment as we share the word. Amen? Our job is not to be so humble that we never understand God's word. It's to be humble in His Word, in His authority, in His power, in His anointing. What does that mean? That means I can walk with authority and power as long as I give Him all glory. That's how simple it is. It says you'll never do it by your own strength. So you can go to the theological seminary and you can study and you can quote Scripture frontwards and backwards. You can do all of that. And if you don't give God the glory, you're on your own. You're doing it by your own strength and by your own power. But give Him the glory. Do what we did this morning and praise Him. Praise Him in all things and watch Him exalt you. Watch Him set you. In a moment's notice, sometimes. Over a long period of time, sometimes. Accept it. This is a fact, what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you about God, it's a fact. It's not fiction. Everything else you know about this world today is fiction. You don't believe it? Listen to the fairy tales the scientists tell you. The hole in the ozone and all this garbage. I don't have the slightest idea what they're talking about because they haven't read the Word. You know what my Word tells me? Yeah, global warming. We're freezing to death. You know what God tells me? God tells me He made the earth and the fullness thereof. You know what that means? According to the Word, it's going to run out when He says it's going to run out. When is that? When He says, no more days, that's when we'll run out. Not 1 minute before. Well, you don't understand. There's people getting all over the world. We're going to overweight the world. It's going to fall. That's as good a theory as anybody else's. Do you think God didn't know how many people were going to be on this earth? He said He had the hairs of our head numbered. That means He has to know how many heads. Right? Or does He just count hairs? And He glumps them all and says, there's 10 trillion hairs on the earth. Now I'm sounding like that crazy guy from Louisiana. I need to quit that. Listen, we're going to continue this study because I'm excited about it. I am very excited about this Word. I'm very excited about this new year. More than I can describe to you. More than I can describe to you. I'm excited about what God's going to do. By the way, do you think God's up to anything? Then He's going to do something, right? And all we got to do is look for it. And let me give you one more piece of advice. Don't be afraid when it happens. It says that God is your refuge. We just read that. In another place it says your refuge and strength. It says those that abide in the shadow of the Almighty, they're in trouble. They're in danger. Where are you today? Are you in the shadow of the Almighty? Are the promises that we're reading today, or do they apply to you? Then let's don't believe anything else but the Word of God. Don't listen to any teacher, any preacher, I don't care how big his name is, that takes away from the Word of God. And don't listen to anybody that adds to the Word of God. There's a ministry right now on that asks for money constantly that's on television. They've been predicting the end of the Word for the last 30 years. And they're wrong every day, and people still give them money. What's wrong with people? What's wrong with people? In the Old Testament, they'd have killed him the first day. He's a false prophet. Now they're killing the kingdom by giving to him. Won't they just unplug him by not giving money? Say, I would rather have no advice than wrong advice. Listen, you guys are holding advice. Harry, that's all advice you need right there. I don't care what version it is. In this group, I don't care what version you got, you read it and watch God open it up. Watch God put a hunger in you for more and more and more. And you know what else? Then watch God build your confidence. And watch God give you some daring and boldness because you know who you're walking in now. And watch the doors start opening. Well, there's never going to be any troubles. I didn't say that. I don't know who said that, but I didn't. I'm telling you that if you pass through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. Ooh, listen, there was a shadow there. What's a shadow? Anybody ever been stumbled by a shadow, tripped by a shadow? How many of you been strangled or killed by a shadow? Larry, you ever been robbed by a shadow? See, we're talking about a threat with no teeth, that's all. All we have to do is learn to say, I will fear no evil. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. My God protects me from my own fallacies, my own weaknesses. Well, come here. Keep that tape running, Jason.
God's done a great thing for me, for my family, in my life. He gave me a new job. And it's It's the same job, but it's me this time. And I'm not working for anyone else. I've got my friend that I'm working with. And God's given us victory this week. We started the house Monday, and we'll be done with the house on Tuesday. And we'll get paid more for that house than almost than what we were making in, well,
say it.
Two of us, almost a month. So about, you know, pretty close to double. And I didn't get paid for the work that I did. I wasn't here last Sunday because I went to work for the last day for my aunt, who I'd been working for, because I felt it was the right thing to do. It was an honorable thing to do in my eyes. So I went and I tried to complete as much as we could, you know, before I needed to start this new house on Monday. And I didn't get paid. But you know what? I praise God anyway. You know, I don't have any money today. I'm not going to get paid tomorrow like I would have, you know. And I don't know if she has any intentions of paying me. But that's between God and her. Because God is in control, and God's going to take care of me. And He's going to take care of my family like He always has. And I just want to praise God because He's given me an opportunity. He's blessed me in a way that I can't explain. I mean, yeah, the money is wonderful, but that is just a part of it because He's given me a freedom on the inside to do something.
Amen.
That, you know, here I've done a work in a week, no different than the work that I did the week before or the week before that. But instead of being degraded for it and told that it's not good enough and we're paying you too much money and blah, 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 instead, there's nobody there who has to say anything, you know, but the boss is happy anyway. And I feel great, you know. And I, and those of you who were here when the prophet came and gave a prophecy having to do with my work, you know, I don't know if this is part of it. I don't know what's going to happen from here. To me, this is just the beginning. To me, this is just the beginning of something wonderful. And I don't know what all is going to happen, but I feel the need to let everybody know that God's on the move.
Amen.
And that nothing's going to stop Him. You know, that if my former employer decides not to pay me, you know, that's not going to stop God. God's hand is not shortened by such things.
Amen.
So, and I've often told my wife, much to her amazement, even if I don't work, God's going to provide for us. You know, and, you know, she knows I'm going to happen, you know, if I have anything to do about it. But I believe that. I believe that if from this day forward I didn't work, God would provide for me because God has a mission for my life and for your life. And God's arm is not shortened. And
no.
Work is not the provision.
Amen.
Okay? God's providing for me through work, but that is not the provision. God is. And we all need to realize that. So,
amen.
I just want to testify to that.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you that he didn't make that decision quickly. He sought the Lord on it for a long time, sought counsel. At one time, and I'm telling you this because he's human and he's just like you and me, at one time he doubted the Lord's counsel and others too. Thought about forgetting it. But that isn't where it stopped. He obeyed the Lord. And, my wife is the one that recommended him to this guy that had the contract. And this week, the guy came and gave her a hug and said, I want to thank you so much for sending him my way. All right? God is your strength. He's your provision. He sets the path. He protects the path. And it's to say his hand is not shortened is a good churchy way of saying that he is not held back by any way, shape, form, fashion of anything. He can't be slowed down. He can't be held down in what? In his pursuit to bless us. Except for one thing, and that's us. We're the only ones that can slow the blessings of God down in our life because he's hard at it. Amen? Do we receive the word this morning? Please do that. Receive it into your life this morning and watch it do an amazing thing. It's the word of God. I read you the word of God this morning. That's all we've done. So receive that word from him this morning. If you'll stand for a moment. Oh. Give me that thing. I don't want to disobey God. When are y'all going to help me with this thing? I've got to read this to you. Every service. Should have done it at the beginning. I've got to read it to you again. I meant to bring that letter from Steve. I got an email from Steve this week. He's down in Florida. And about half of what he wrote in there was quoting Isaiah 61. And he was telling me about the great things that we're going to see this year. And one of them was, they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. Talking about us. We're going to do that. We're going to see it done. Let me read the first four verses of Isaiah 61. I gave you word, this is a mission. Okay, this is a command. This is a mission that God has given every person in this place. And I want you to listen. Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, you, because the Lord has anointed me, you, to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me and you to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim, you can't do that with your mouth shut now, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty. Hey, you feel prettier today than you did last week? Do you? You? See, the word makes you feel prettier. It does. It is to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. The spirit of despair is not of the Lord. Don't pass it on. Listen to this. Those people that you minister to, that you've been called to minister to, they will be called oaks of righteousness. A planting of the Lord, not a planting of yours, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. That's a promise, it's a command, it's a mission. Everybody here, write in their heart. That's I need to know that this morning. God needs to know it. You need to know it. Are you right in your heart this morning? Everything right with God? If there's somebody here that needs to be get something out of their life, raise your hand right quick. Don't take long because we got other things to do. No? Everybody's clear? One other thing. Do you believe the Word of God?
Amen.
Let me ask you, are you empowered to believe the Word of God? That means, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you? Everybody here? All hearts clear then. Please, I want to talk to your heart for a minute. Not somebody else's heart or about somebody else's heart. I'm talking to your heart this morning. Are your hearts clear?
I just want to praise the Lord.
We're all
going to be bold with the Lord.
Amen. Amen. All right. Let's go out of this place excited. That's what the Word does for you. Stronger, that's what the Word does for you. More empowered, that's what the Word does for you. More determined. I'm telling you something, if the Word won't do anything for you, it'll make you harder headed. It'll take away the mush that's between our ears and put in Word. Iron Word. The kind that nobody just breaks easy. Am I hard headed? Am I? Praise God. Praise God. I want. I said God loves hard-headed people. I believe that. I believe He loves them special. Because if He can ever get them straight, nobody can break them. Amen? Nobody can. Praise the Lord. Let's go. Y'all go catch up what the score is. Whatever. I know what the score is here. We win. Amen?